And a very good afternoon to you out there. It is now 6 minutes past midday and time on the Monday Morning Mix with me, Andy Knight, to be joined, of course, for the lunchtime social debate by the lovely Baroness Kim Philby's here. Good afternoon, Kim.
Hello, darling.
How are you all?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Good
yeah.
to see you. You're looking very bright
well,
and sunny.
Well, it's sunny, isn't it?
Did you enjoy the weekend? Wasn't it lovely?
I did. It was fabulous. Except we spent most of the weekend in a car. But the weather was lovely. And when we got to our destination, it was perfect.
It was great.
And then it was a few hours and then we were back on the motorway again. Actually, you know, we had a fabulous day. We had a fabulous weekend and the weather was perfect.
So great. Oh,
we
that's
can't
lovely.
Complain, can we?
Good, good, good. No, not at all. Brilliant. Okay, so we've got the lunchtime social debate between now and 1 o'clock. Just to remind all those dear listeners out there that this is their chance, your chance indeed, to get involved. Anything that you want to get off your chest or comment on, local, national, or indeed international. That's what we're here for. And all the usual means are at your disposal. You can contact us by email, studio@vectisradio.com. You can tweet at Vectis Radio. You can post on facebook.com/Vectis Radio. I have a show post on there which you can make a comment or put a question or have your say. If you actually want to come on with your voice, then please do so. The number, you know it, 01983 is the code, of course, the local code here. And then the number 240-666-240-666. And just a brief reminder that we do have this new texting service here at Vectis Radio. The number to text is 60777, 60777. If you start your message with this code, BR6TT, BR6TT to 60777, and you can tweet us on that, text us on that number as well. So a number of things sort of going on, obviously, locally, nationally, and internationally. Skipping quickly across the imminent outbreak of war between America and North Korea.
Don't broadcast that. Someone will pick it up and they'll think it's true.
No,
true. You are well, naughty boy.
Sorry, fake. alert, fake news.
Fake news, yeah, in your timeline.
At least we tell you when it's fake news.
Yeah, true.
What else is going on? Well, there's all sorts of things happening. Just having a look at one or two news headlines, as it were, locally here on the island. The court decision, the High Court decision to reverse that decision on John Platt's school fines, the vacations for children. We might come back to that in a moment
Definitely.
Or two, because that is a complete about face. It seemed to have been done and dusted and now doesn't appear to be so. The concept of a fixed link. Now, I know it's an old chestnut, but it's reared its head again after the publication of the latest survey, where a considerable majority, although I have to say I wasn't asked. Were you asked?
No.
No. But apparently 2-1 voted in favour of a fixed link and a feasibility, you know, a
but
real
when was
feasibility
this vote?
Study.
When was
it
this
was
vote?
It closed at the end of March. I didn't get asked. But anyway, so the old fixed link, always an old chestnut, but that seems to be back in the news again. What else is going on? Oh, this plan, several million pounds from government, Department of Communities and Local Government, have earmarked, we understand, nearly 10 million quid to address the problem of congestion, traffic congestion, in and around the Newport area. Suggestions may be to pedestrianise the main high street through Newport and to alleviate traffic at Coppins Bridge and so on, which again is a bit of an old chestnut, but there does seem to be funding available now to do something about it, so maybe we'll talk about that. What's happening on the health front? You are our health expert. Anything interesting going on there?
Got me totally unawares.
No, I just wondered.
No new discoveries, but of course we are coming into hay fever time, so we can have bit of chat about natural remedies for that, I think.
That would be a very good idea indeed, yes. Because I was actually, as I tend to do at this time of year when broadcasting, I do tend to do the pollen count and the UV levels. I was interested actually, it's funny, you don't think about it, but you think, well, it's early to mid-April, but as we were saying about the weather over the weekend, it was absolutely glorious, and we were doing a spot of things outside in the back garden, trying to shape things up a bit, and it was really very warm. And I happened to read or hear, I can't remember, that people reminding us from the Met Office that in fact at this time of year the sun is as strong as it is in August. And of course we think of August as high summer, which I guess it is, but you don't tend to think at the either side of the summer solstice that the sun still at this time of year when it's out is actually as powerful as it is in August.
Well, you don't, and the thing is, we are, you know, planets really planetary movement and all of that, yeah, is getting hotter, and we do have to remember that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it is just as hot, and you do have to be just careful.
I was working outside for a lot of last week on my boat, trying to get her ready for the season, and I was blessed, I have to say, with a window of weather that was absolutely bang on, because it let me get on with stuff and do. And I noticed yesterday that my forearm, I was actually peeling a bit on my forearm. I thought, oh dear, I wasn't really on board.
Really?
Yeah, couldn't believe it. So yeah, anyway, do get in touch if there's anything that you want to bring up, something of your own that is a bee in your bonnet, or if there's any of the subjects that we've mentioned, and there's plenty more besides, of course, to tick on. Hang on, just getting a message through here. Nick Churchill, of course, out there in Essex. Very good afternoon, Nick. And he's hanging out his washing at the moment, so I gather that he won't be commenting, although he is listening, and he's sending his regards to you, Kim, as well. So a very good afternoon, Nick. Great to have you on board, and do get in touch, as usual, if there's anything you want to have a go about. So just having a think about this term time holiday thing. Now, I was just looking at some statistics on the basically it's truancy, that's what they're calling it, and of course technically that is what it is, truancy prosecutions in England. The latest figures are for 2015, a couple of years ago, and having a look nationally, these figures are parents who have had proceedings taken against them, nearly 20,000 parents have had proceedings taken against them, which is increasing year on year from previous years. Those that were found guilty under these truancy prosecutions, nearly 15,000. So 75% of these prosecutions are successful. This is nationally, and from figures, as I say, a couple of years ago. And out of those that were found guilty, most of them, in fact, nearly, 11,500 were fined, an average fine of £176. There are various other statistics relating to this, which I won't bother going into, but just in terms of the hard numbers on that, that's an awful lot. And of course this ruling, or this about face on the ruling, with John Platt, of course, here from the Isle of Wight, which has been followed by all the national news media, that's going to have a big effect. And the ruling, really, as I understand it, was saying that the parents are not the final arbiter on what is in the best interest of the child regarding their education. And the court is saying that the parent is not the final arbiter, which is, I guess, quite a contentious statement in a way. But how do you feel about
that? Well, then who is?
Well,
And the thing that annoys me about this whole thing, and especially about the about face, is that I didn't think that John Platt was being unreasonable. In fact, I think most parents have the brain and the intellect to not take their children out willy-nilly. What this actually stops us doing is, for example, here on the Isle of Wight, we are a holiday place, a holiday destination.
Sure.
Now, I know, having had a seasonal business, it's impossible to take your child away in the school holidays. So why should I be penalised for taking my child out either side of that if the record of attendance is good, say 98%, 99%? As a working mother, as a working holiday business in a leisure
area.
Trade,
why
should we be penalised for this? It's just unthinkable. And what it's done, I've read a lot about this, and a lot of people are missing the point. They're saying it's about cheap holidays and all that. It isn't about cheap holidays. It's about the rights of parents to show discretion and head teachers. I mean, I remember when our son was at middle school, we particularly wanted to do a 3-week trip to Disney, and we wanted to take him out 1 week of one side of the holiday. Well, she was brilliant. She said, as long as he does a diary and he does some homework every day of that week that's outside of his holiday, then she would permit it. All right, his attendance had been very, very good. We've obviously got a caller coming through, so...
Sorry, I don't want to cut across you, because I'm going to come back to what you're saying there, but I'm just going to take this call and see who's there. Good afternoon, you're live on Vectis Radio. Who's calling?
Andy, it's Nick from
hello,
the
Nick.
North
it's
Island.
Nick,
hello,
yes.
Mate, from
hello,
the North
Nick.
Island. How the devil are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine, thank you. Hello, Kim. Yes, you rattled my cage.
Go on, then.
Right.
And I'll rattle it right back.
Hey, I supported Mr. Platt in this. I thought it, you know, I mean, this would have gone away if Department for Education and Science had to actually back the council and pay for them to appear it.
Yeah,
In the first place.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that... Now, I'm not claiming credit for this comment. I saw it online.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with it. The point is, you know, they say that even one day is going to affect your children's education. It's, you know, but we have children leaving school at 16, 17 who can't spell.
Mm.
They can't add up. They can't do any of the basics.
Can I just leap in from my side on this, Nick?
Because I
take your point. As a retired teacher from here on the island, having done about 25 years service in primary and middle schools here on the island myself, from a teacher's perspective, it is terribly disruptive. I don't think there's any question. Most teachers, I think, would agree that if a child is absent for any length of time, for a week or two, at a critical time of the year, at any time of the year, to be honest, they will miss out on certain things. Now, it's a hard enough job as it is, but the children's progress will suffer. I mean, I don't think as a teacher I could say anything other than that, because the curriculum is so tight for time. There is so much to get in, and a couple of weeks out and a complete concept in literacy or numeracy can be dealt with, or indeed several concepts can be either reinforced or introduced and covered in a fairly short time scale. And I agree with what you're saying about levels of literacy and numeracy generally. But the pressure on teaching, on delivering the curriculum at the moment, is enormous. And I'm just going to background that comment by saying that I think there are two elements that need also to be considered, which I'm sure both you and Kim will be happy to entertain, and we're probably going to mention yourselves. But one being that because education is so much driven by league tables now and percentages and how many and this and that, I agree with you, Nick, that basic levels of literacy and numeracy are not good enough, and that is the crux of it, in my view. But while the pressure on funding, on resources, on being able to employ teachers to deliver this high-pressure curriculum, while those pressures are there, backed up with league tables and everything else, it makes it impossible for teachers to ensure that all of those in their charge achieve the levels that are expected of them. It's unrealistic. And against that as well, on a slightly different subject, there is, of course, this issue, which has always been an old chestnut, about demand and supply in the holiday trade, and that when it's holidays, the prices go up, and why should parents, rightly so, have to pay a premium to go away during the holidays when the travel companies lump up the prices? So there's those elements as well which need to be part of the discussion, I think.
Blimey.
But this isn't just about that. About
well,
the
no, but
price
it's part of it.
Kim, would you push off your soapbox for a minute?
here we go, cage rattling. It all.
Yeah, yeah. Start. Go
no,
on.
No, Andy, I am the son of a teacher.
Yes.
Okay, Mum taught for I don't even know how many years, but it was a hell of a long time.
Mm.
And yes, I am sympathetic towards the teachers. The systems have changed completely. It's become money driven. It's become results driven.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the children haven't actually read and understood that that's what they need to do.
Mm.
With some teachers now, look, I'm not tarring all teachers with the same brush, but the quality of teachers in this country is not as good as it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's an interesting point.
I came, in my son's secondary school, I came across teachers when we went in for parents, because we weren't allowed to go in any other time, because it might have disrupted the teachers. I had one teacher, a teacher's evening, saying to me, oh, yeah, well, they're not really doing much because they just won't behave themselves and I can't control them. I'm thinking, hello.
Mm.
You know, I mean, you know, why are you telling me this?
Mm.
You know, and that was not a lone incident. I mean, that happened with two, three, four teachers. Some of Alex's teachers were absolutely top-notch, brilliant, the best.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of... teaching is like nursing, it's a calling.
Yes.
Okay, and, you know, I mean, you prove that. I mean, just by what you're just saying just now, you are absolutely intent. You're intense on the subject because you believe it in it and you love it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of teachers now, people go to teaching now because of the money.
Yeah. Okay.
And they you know, they do not have that passion, and that's what's missing in teaching. You know, okay, you have a child going on. I know we're sort of moving off the subject slightly, but you know, you have a child goes to school. They're you know 98% or 96% or whatever it is, and you know you need to take them out for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And you're told, no, you can't, because it's against the law, blah, 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 blah. Okay, it's the law, so, you know, end off. You know, we don't argue with that. It's the law. But, yeah, I think you need to look at it from the other side as well, you know, that if you're going to insist on that, you've got to insist on having passionate people teaching our children.
Mm. I think
people
that there
who
are...
really believe in what they're doing. Because I've come across some, I'm only saying some teachers who just do not believe in what they're doing. They're just going through the motions, and that is very upsetting.
I think that that's an interesting point, Kim. I can see steam beginning to emanate from under your headphones there. Do you want to leap in on that?
Well, only because, you know, no, all right, we're talking about this in the context of a holiday. Okay, we have to go to a funeral on the mainland. It's impossible to get back in a day. What are you going to say? Mm. I can't take my son or my daughter to their grandfather's funeral?
Mm.
I mean, where does it end? That's what. And what about inset days while we're on it?
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, I was going to come on to inset days.
Well, you know,
I mean, that,
it sounds to me like it's goose and gander here.
Well, it's one rule for
exactly.
them and another rule for us.
Right.
I mean, I personally think that John should have won the case, or Mr. Pett should have won the case, and with a strong recommendation that head teachers start using common sense.
Well, that's what I was just saying before you rang up and rudely interrupted.
Sorry.
I was
let you slap me when I come down.
All right, then. Only because you'll enjoy it.
Oh, yes.
Can I just remind you two that it's called the Lunchtime Social
yeah,
Debate,
sorry,
not the
yeah.
Lunchtime
not
Social Puncher.
Puncher, yeah, all right. No, but seriously, no, what
oh, no,
I was...
We love each other.
No, what I was saying was, you know, in my day, we had a head teacher at my son's school who was brilliant. She allowed us to take him an extra week. And he was, but as long as he did a daily diary and he did homework and he did a project and what he was seeing, I can't see what's wrong with that. And I don't know why we can't do that now.
Yeah, I mean, common sense has gone out, you know, at the cost of bringing in, you know, ticking boxes all the time.
Well, it comes back to what you said. It's test, test, test. It's all money driven. And you are right. The people do not have the passion for it. But the reason they don't have the passion for it is because they are overworked. And I think they're underpaid for what they're expected to do. Sorry to disagree with that, but I do.
Mm.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Absolutely.
I accept that opinion. I'm not going to argue with about that opinion because you may be right. Right, I may be wrong. I don't know. I don't have the answer. I wish
no.
I did. If I did, I'd be earning large sums of money. But
you and me both.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, education in this country needs to be looked at again. But it mustn't be looked at by the same old, same old.
But we said this about the NHS. It's almost like somebody's overhaul education.
Do you know, when you were talking about head teachers, Kim, my immediate thought was, and don't forget the matron.
Absolutely.
I think that they
worked. You know, why do they try and fix it? Because it wasn't broken.
No, exactly.
I think that I think you're both making extremely cogent and sensible points on both sides. I mean, it's trying to square the circle is a really big ask, and I think that there are elements of it that need to be addressed that some would say are peripheral to the central argument, but for me I think that there are things like the cost, you know, it can be as much as 50% more for holiday time holidays as opposed to term time pricing on the same holidays.
That
and also I think head teachers, I think you've both made the point, with greater discretion. And I think that the parents, as opposed to being, it seems to me, a very us and them kind of situation, which is not supporting either end, really. The parents and the teacher and the head teacher should be working together.
Exactly,
and as
right.
you suggested.
Yeah. I always said to Alex's school, secondary school particularly, I said to them, look, we're a team. We're meant to work together.
Exactly.
So if you've got a problem, you talk to me or his mum, and you know, and we will resolve it. And if I've got a problem, I will talk to you. And they said, yeah, great, fantastic.
Mm.
We'll do that. didn't most of the time, but you know, I made the offer because, you know, we are meant to, you know, I mean, our children's education is incredibly important.
Oh, yes,
and we,
yeah.
You know, and
I think we can all agree on that. Yeah,
well, yeah. any good parent, and I do say that underlined, you know, is going to want to be part of that team and be involved in their child. And that's, you know, 99.9% of the population
but Nick,
is going to say that.
But, there's a huge amount of apathy these days from the parents.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
I only know this from my son, who's in teaching.
I'm just going to interrupt rudely here because we need to take a quick break now. I hope you're going to stay on the line, Nick, because I don't think we've exhausted this topic by any means.
We could probably do a three-hour program on it.
No!
We'd probably end up doing exactly that. But, Kim, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm going to come back to you. But we just need to take a quick break now so we can squeeze these all in to pay the rent here. And we'll come back. So do stay on the line, Nick, and Kim, we'll come back to you after this short break.
This is Vectis Radio.
As a business, you have a legal responsibility to dispose of your waste in line with current government legislation. Island Environmental Hygiene Limited are an island company specialising in the collection of sanitary, clinical and hazardous waste, working closely with the Environment Agency to ensure your waste is disposed of legally. Our services are tailored to meet your needs. To find out more, visit islandhygiene.com or call 721 943.
West White Audio, the island's technical troubleshooters. Having problems with your phone? Or are your electrics on the blink? Maybe you need your appliances or your building wiring tested or just a light fitted. We've got it covered. For friendly, reliable service, call Kelvin on 754666 or click westwhiteaudio.co.uk. All island coverage.
Retinitis pigmentosa is a disease of the eye that leads to loss of vision and blindness. It causes the retina, the light-sensitive part of the eye, to degenerate and sight to be lost. RP Fighting Blindness works hard to stimulate and fund cutting-edge research to find a cure or treatment. The local RP Fighting Blindness group on the Isle of Wight has been established since 2006. If you live on the island and you'd like to get involved, please contact Colin MacArthur at talktalk.net or make a donation at www.rpfightingblindness.com. .org.uk/IOW.
Reading Roman Villa, more than just an award-winning museum. The eco-friendly building provides free access to a cafe that has stunning views of the whole of Sandown Bay, acres of free parking and plenty of space for children to play safely in the tranquil setting that's hardly changed since the Romans lived here. Come and try Ben's lunches and Nikki's cakes, all homemade and delicious. The friends of Brading Roman Villa provide visitors with a free introduction to the villa's history and delight in answering people's questions. Brading Roman Villa open every day, 10 till 4. Come and treat yourself anytime.
Hello, Dominic Cole here to tell you about The Breakfast Show. Well, it happens at breakfast times, 8 until 10am, Mondays to Thursdays. There's Telebox, Chart Rewind, we talk movies, football, just about everything. On top of that, we've got great music from throughout the decades. So tune in Monday to Thursday for The Breakfast Show on Vectis Radio.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240666 or add us on Skype. It's vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
And we're back again. It's just about 12:30 on this Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Monday Morning Mix, and this is the Lunchtime Social Debate with myself, Andy Knight. Kim Philby's here, and Nick, are you still on the line there, Nick?
Oh, I'm still here.
Splendid fella. I'm going to
go away yet, then.
I'm going to go back to Kim on this, because I did interrupt
Kim.
But just before I do that, I have just had a look at some more information here, and the ruling, as I understand it, is about unauthorised absences, of course, but does not apply to reasons such as illness or family bereavement in terms of any absence. So,
okay,
come back on that.
I accept that, mm-hmm. But then you can't have it all your own way, because, you know, teachers are saying that if a child loses even a day mm-hmm. out of that week's curriculum, they are going to be so behind. Well, then you can't then say, oh, but you can't go on holiday, mm. but you can have a day off to go to a funeral, because surely they're still going to lose out.
Sure.
So,
Auntie Lillian's going to die about three times a year.
Yeah, no, I take your point. But I mean, that's the point. But if we go back to this thing where, Kim, a point that you made much earlier on was that provided, and this is where the head teachers, while having to remain, I mean, they are constrained by the law and indeed by the contents of this ruling from the High Court. But as you mentioned earlier, if you discuss it, and Nick, you were talking about it, if you try and discuss it, and we, I'm afraid, we have already raised the fact that some parents say, well, the education of my children's down to the school and I'm not involved.
This is always a problem,
and that's always a problem.
There's always
but
one, yeah.
If you talk to the head teacher and your head teacher, when you were talking about your son having absence, about making provision for maintaining some kind of regimen, some kind of educational discipline during the absence, I think that has some considerable virtue.
And I can't understand. I mean, that to me is joined up thinking. Yeah. It's common sense, and that's what we should do. But unfortunately, you and I have said this before, there does seem to be a general lack of apathy with parenting today. Now, whether that's because they don't understand what their kids are doing at school, therefore they just wash their hands of it, I don't know. But I know it happens. I think that's appalling because, as Nick quite rightly said, we are a team. When it comes to our children's education, it is the parents and it is the teachers.
But doesn't it call into question the whole legal standing of, I mean, the old thing about teachers were in loco parentis and had the authorisation backed by the law to make decisions regarding the welfare of the children when they were in their charge. But this
don't
kind
have that anymore, this,
no, well, no, exactly. You don't have that anymore. And this is really where now we've got the state making responsible, taking responsibility and making decisions about the child, as opposed to the, you know, being taken away from the parents being able to make those decisions. And that seems to be the nub of the problem here.
I think it is.
Nick, what do you think on that one?
Well, I mean, the state being responsible for everything is something which I find abhorrent, for the very simple reason that the state should not be responsible for everything unless you want to go to communism.
Yeah, understood. But I mean, within reason.
Sorry, I had to get that one off my chest. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was starting to get steam coming out then. I mean, the problem that we have is the lack of joined up thinking. And a lot of head teachers, and I say this advisedly, and you'll probably try and shoot me down, have taken this draconian attitude rather than actually stopping and thinking. And using a bit of joined-up thinking and actually looking at each case individually. Now, when law is made, there is always wiggle room in that law for common sense to be used.
Sure. Well, let me just throw this into the mix and come back on this with you, Nick. Let me just throw this into the mix, because there are comments that I have heard and read where parents who are, shall we say, on the side of the ruling, this latest ruling, are saying that, okay, well, there are some families, some parents who are taking advantage of the wriggle room, as you call it, whereas we are going, you know, to hell and back in a handcart, ensuring that our child maintains 98% or more attendance at school, and not taking advantage of this wriggle room. And how are those parents going to view the fact that some children are out every few weeks on holiday or jollies or whatever it might be, whereas a lot of parents are saying, well, look, we're ensuring our kids are in school 98% of the time as required. How does that make us feel? Are we not being respected for that?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I would respect those parents because they're actually being responsible. And they are actually playing the game. But the other people, I mean, look, in every single dealing that everybody has with the government, you know, sort of, you know, with benefits and everything else, everybody plays the system. And there are, you're right, there are people that play the system with their children's education.
Yeah.
Which is irresponsible.
Well, gambling with very high stakes, I think we'd agree on that.
Absolutely. You get no argument from me with that. And it, and it really annoys me when I sort of see, like, on social media, oh, yeah, I've got little Johnny off so we can go down to the seaside today. Hello. You know, sort of, I mean, that's irresponsible parenting. What we need to look at, or what we need to concentrate on, is the responsible parents who are actually doing that. But the teachers and the head teachers have got a part to play in this as well. They need to use common sense. You know, I mean, look, these are very, very intelligent people. To become a head teacher, you know, you have got to have a brain in your head.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a given.
Yeah, no, we'll take that, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, okay. They must know when somebody is playing the system. Look, I have people come in front of me as a counsellor. I mean, you all know I'm a counsellor here. Yeah. And I sit on various, on certain panels and that sort of thing, like licensing and that sort of thing. And I know when someone's trying to pull the wool over my eyes.
But
you know, it's pretty, you know, sort of, you know, it's just by using common sense.
Absolutely. But
you know,
where
when
are we?
Somebody's telling me a lie, you know, you can spot it a mile off. So you know, if I can do that, and you know, I'm not a head teacher, but you know, so I would say a head teacher was much more intelligent than I was, you know, or should be.
But the point, surely, Nick, is
they're missing that, and they're not actually dealing with it the way it should be.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with much of what you've said there, but surely I'm going to come back to the nub of this for me, which is this responsibility, and it's enshrined in law, as we know, because this is what this case that John Platt's been taking to court over the past couple of years, and there have been decisions one way and now the other. But the nub of it, for me, still seems to be if parents have ultimate responsibility for their child's well-being, which includes their health, their safety, their, you know, being food, fed and clothed and so on, and their education in terms of providing them with the best life chances that they can, which every parent, I suspect, would claim to do, and rightly so.
Absolutely.
At what point does the state take over that responsibility and say, no, we are in charge of this part of your offspring's well-being in terms of their life chances enshrined in the educational side of things? If it's enshrined in law, how much state intervention is reasonable? I think that's the nub of it.
Well, yes, absolutely, I agree. And if you look back in history, I mean, educating your child, you go back a long, long way. Well, you know, the parents had to do it because there was no education, no nothing.
Yeah, sure.
So then the state started bringing education in, and it was voluntary for a very long time. But then I've always said to you, Andy, you know, history is a really big thing, and I can't remember the dates. You know, but then the law came in that the government was taking over the responsibility for actually educating children, and all children had to be educated.
Yeah.
I think that was sort of the late 19th century, something like that, towards the end of Victoria's reign.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, they took over. That's when they took over. A lot of that was to prevent child labour. You know, your child had to go into school and not into work, and it was up to the age of 14 at that time, I think, or even younger than that. And then they went into work, but that slowly came up. So the government took over the education, but I think it's got into overkill. You know, you can't expect the government to actually do everything. As a parent, you have to take your fair share of the responsibility of educating your child.
But surely if it's...
And ensuring that your child is educated.
No, all I was going to say, you've asked how much, you know, government or hierarchy should get involved. Surely they should only really be involved if a parent is a serial offender and keeps taking their child out of school. I mean, surely
very,
it should
be
well, surely it should be up to the parents and the head teacher to decide what is relevant and what is irrelevant. And if
it's like with Alex, he absolutely was terrified of swimming. So I turned around to the school and said, look, you're making a big fuss about this, can't you stick him in the library with a book, so that he doesn't have to swim, and so he learns something. Because I would rather that, you know, he, you know, did something academic rather than splashing around in the pool that he's terrified of.
Absolutely right. I couldn't agree more, because that would have been me as a child.
Alex can swim, because I taught him.
But that's an interesting point. But you see, just taking that specific example, which I think is a good one, Nick, and Kim as well, you're on board with that, you've just said. But, I mean, the curriculum that is delivered to our children, irrespective of their age, during the course of their education between, say, 5 and 16, the curriculum is enshrined in law, and every child has to have that curriculum delivered to them by law. It's not just that they have to be there to receive it.
To be honest with you, I think that curriculum as it stands today is wrong.
Well, it needs overhauling, I think. Sure. Definitely.
It does.
Okay.
There are so many things that are missing. I'm not going to go on my hobby horse on this one, but there are so many things that are missing or that they're allowed not to do in education, such as history, such as geography, things like that. You need to know where you come from and where you're going to, history, geography, to actually, you know, to be able to actually perform properly. But no, you know, it's sort of, you know, it's all about, you know, oh, you have to learn this, you know, so you have work skills. Well, I'm sorry, you know, I was rubbish at school. I really was, and I'm ashamed to admit it, or not ashamed to admit it, maybe, but I've done fairly well when I left school. You know, I've never been unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
I've always worked.
I will just can I just add this, because I've just had a message through actually here from my eldest daughter Gemma, who's listening to this debate in London at work at the moment, or on her lunch break.
Hello, but Gemma.
Yeah, there's Nick saying hello to you, and Gemma just saying she's totally agreeing with you, Kim, in the comments you're making about, you know, the joined up thinking and the, you know, the reasonable approach to this. And all I'm saying is that I think you, Kim, and Nick have some joined up thinking that you're actually agreeing on to a large extent. No, I think you are, because
no, we are. I think we're not poles apart on much of
no,
it
no,
at
no.
all.
I don't think so, because this point about the responsibility for the well-being of the child and this particular element of their well-being in terms of their life chances as provided for by education, in that sense, I think a vast number of parents would, well, it's the school's job, it's the education system's job to deliver. Yeah, I know,
but
a lot of parents
say
would say that.
They will blame they will blame the teacher, they will blame the education system.
Absolutely.
Rather than taking responsibility.
Yeah. And here we go, right. A lot of these parents, and we're talking about children having children here, I think.
Yeah,
a lot of these parents who expect everything to be done for them, I'm sorry, they are not good parents. They need education themselves.
Well, that's
they are the result of our education system. And, you know, they're victims, apart from anything else. And it worries me about their children, because, you know, what example are they actually showing to their children by just, you know, sitting in front of the TV, smoking a fag and saying, oh, well, they'll do all that, I don't have to do anything.
Mm. Yeah, but Nick, that's the problem we've got, is almost a subculture of youngsters bringing youngsters into the world for whatever reason they want to do that. There are practical parenting classes out there, but a lot of them don't want to know.
How many would actually go to practical parenting?
Well, unless you make it
voluntary.
Well, they wouldn't do it voluntary unless you give them money to go. They probably wouldn't go.
Well, exactly.
But can we go back to this thing about the general social attitude towards education? Now, Nick, you kind of alluded to it a little earlier in the debate, where education is, whereas I believe, and certainly even in when I went into education initially, teachers, and particularly head teachers, as you've mentioned, Nick, and education itself was looked up to. I no longer believe that society looks up to education in the way that it used to.
I totally agree with you. Do you know why? Because you can find out practically everything on the net.
Yeah.
And it's devalued what the teacher relationship has done.
Exactly my point.
It's totally devalued. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, teachers, head teacher, you know, as I said to you right at the beginning, my mum was a teacher, so I knew a lot of educators, you know, teachers and head teachers, and, you know, we were very friendly with a lot of these people, and I had massive respect for them, because, and even when I was at school as well, I mean, I went to a very, very good school, and I had a great deal of respect for my teachers, and for my head teacher, because they were absolutely brilliant,
but
because
Nick,
they were passionate.
Our generation,
now,
Nick, we were taught respect. We were taught to respect your elders without question. And manners.
Now,
and this has all gone out the window.
So are we saying, can I just interrupt again there? Because you both saying, and this is a question, are you both saying that because of the change in society, which, I mean, the only thing that's constant in life is change. We know that it's never going to stay exactly the same.
Yeah.
But because of this erosion that you're describing, that I lumped into the debate a moment ago about the opinion, the attitude that generally is held towards education, which is what our topic is at the moment, because that has been so eroded, is that not part of the crux of this whole issue. This is just the tip of the iceberg. This holiday problem is to do with the attitude towards society and the majority of people in society towards the education that we are providing. Is it not
actually
that?
I think the biggest problem, or I'd agree with you to an extent, that there is a massive loss of respect, and that is because there's been a change in attitude. Mm. But you need to look at why has attitude changed. And that brings me back to a comment that I made earlier on, mm-hmm. that although majority of teachers are brilliant and they have a passion, there are some, and they seem to, and they get more attention, who are not very good. Now, it hurts me to say it because I have massive respect for teachers. But, you know, when you come across teachers who are not passionate, who cannot control their classes, and the classes know it, and they're ripped to shreds. I mean, look, even when we were kids, if there was a teacher that was not very good, we would rip them to shreds. We did it at my school, I'm sure you did it at your school. But it's that attitude isn't helped by this teacher light versions that we seem to be getting coming into the into the profession, and that is tarring everybody the same brush, and the respect has gone.
I'm going to get Kim back in on that because
she's steaming.
She's going to explode in a minute if I don't let her come back to you on this.
Only that. I want to say this. I know there are good and bad in all professions. I know that.
Absolutely.
But I also feel that because the curriculum, and I'm talking a little bit from personal experience, as I say, my son is in teaching.
Yeah.
Because of the delivery that the teachers are expected, they get the passion knocked out of them. They really do.
I won't argue with you.
I mean, what would you do, Nick, if you were told by your superior, you do not care where the child stands in his ability, you pass them or else.
Mm. Yeah. I mean,
do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, that is. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There you go.
Yeah.
And this is again.
And this is because this particular manager
just made me speechless.
Well, there you go. But it made me speechless when I heard it. But this is because they're playing the numbers game, and it's all about the money.
It's about the money.
It's no longer about the quality. Yeah. What was it? Never mind the quality. Fill the width. It's no longer about the quality. It's about bums on seats. It's about how much money they can get per person that they pass, and they don't care if these kids are up to scratch or not.
Mm.
And it's not the teachers. And I just feel, yes, you've got a point that there are, but there are good and bad in all professions.
Absolutely.
And I just feel that for a lot of the teachers, their passion is just driven out of them because it's a numbers game.
Well, I have to say, can I come in on that? Because as a retired teacher, and I took early retirement, and I have to say I have some sympathy with Kim's point on that, because I went into teaching with a passion, and for the majority of my career in teaching, which was quite late in life, I loved it. But I got to that point where the amount of teaching time that I was able to, quality teaching time I was able to devote, it was so driven by box ticking, it was so driven by bureaucratic exercise, it was so driven by meeting targets and so on and so forth, that the passion in me was largely extinguished, and I thought I can no longer realistically stand in front of these children if I'm not giving them what I consider to be what they deserve, which is the best. I feel that I'm too jaded almost by the end of my teaching career to provide the quality that I feel that young people deserve, and I thought, I can't do this anymore, and I stepped out of the classroom, and you could not pay me enough money now to go back into the classroom. I'll tell you that for nothing.
Andy, without sounding like a sycophant, it's people like you that I wish we could bottle, because that is the attitude that we need. I want to hear that sort of attitude from every teacher I come across.
Hmm.
Yeah, because that's a real.
But the pressure they're under, as Kim's just described, is enormous. It's unworkable. It really is. And we need to go back, I think, again, because I'm going to have to begin to round this off simply because of Kevin Wilson will be banging on the door very shortly.
Is that time already?
I'll tell him to go away. We'll carry on.
And I've got another ad break to squeeze in yet, which I'm going to have to do. But I think.
Bye, Nick.
I'm going to go back to hanging out with Washington.
I think that's a good idea. But no, it's been a fascinating, absolutely fascinating discussion.
Every minute of it.
Really important. And thank you so much, Nick, for joining us. I would just sort of finish off, not by trying to be glib about this, but I think that it would be true, perhaps, I don't know whether either or both of you would agree, but I think it would be, there would be an element of truth if I said that one of the old sayings about education is, it's a football, and it has been kicked up and down the left wing and the white ring, right wing, politically.
The right wing.
It's been kicked up and down the wings, irrespective of your left or right leanings politically, for so many decades now, and it's always been a football that is kicked to and fro, and no one has ever really sorted it. There have been people that have tried, and frankly, it's not really addressed the issue, in my view. I don't really think that we have the education system that we deserve, or more importantly, that our young people deserve.
More to the
and
point.
That's the way I see it, and I don't want to just round this off with something supposedly intelligent for me, because I'm a bear of small brain. But Nick, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Nick.
Okay, we'll speak after these.
This is Vectis Radio.
As a business, you have a legal responsibility to dispose of your waste in line with current government legislation. Island Environmental Hygiene Limited are an island company specialising in the collection of sanitary, clinical and hazardous waste, working closely with the Environment Agency to ensure your waste is disposed of legally. Our services are tailored to meet your needs. To find out more, visit islandhygiene.com or call 721 943.
Don't miss the chance to see Whale Music, an amazing play by the Isle of Wight's Oscar-winning screenwriter, Anthony Minghella. Whale Music, his first stage success, tells the story of a young woman's return to the Isle of Wight and features original music and moving images, a game of charades, and even kite flying. It's being performed by the award-winning Origins Theatre for two nights only at Key Arts Newport, Wednesdays, April the 12th and 26th. Book soon, book now. Call 01983 822 490 or book online at keyarts.org. Come and experience Whale Music. You'll never forget it.
As the nation's leading first aid charity, we at St John Ambulance believe nobody should die because they needed first aid and didn't get it. Yet only one in five of you would know what to do in the event of an emergency. So why not be the difference in your local community by volunteering with the St John Ambulance units at either Ryde or Newport? You'll learn life-saving skills which could be the difference between life and death.
Do you have a spare room? Would you like to earn up to £820 for 2 or 3 weeks this summer? Or maybe you have a passion for experiencing different cultures? Then why not host international students with the world's largest educational company, with 24-hour support from your local office based in Newport? EF Education First is by far the largest language school on the Isle of Wight. We can guarantee you students this summer. Call us today on 821133 to find out more.
Someone once described my music taste as, "You like everything." Well, that's as close as I can get to a perfect description of the music policy for the Headfunk Show. Every Friday at 5 p.m. you'll find me, Tom Headfunk, playing music from around the world and around the white, with live guests playing sessions, mixing live, or just sharing the music they love. The Headfunk Show, every Friday at 5 p.m. only on Vectis Radio.
Stay social and get in touch. Add us on Skype. It's Vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
And we're back just for a few more minutes. It's 6 minutes to 1 o'clock, and just referring back to that wonderfully lively and interesting and passionate debate there. And just a final comment from my daughter Gemma, listening in London to that. And she was agreeing very, very much with you, Kim, about new teachers and losing their passion for the job that they have chosen, the career they've chosen, indeed. And she is saying that she has many friends that she knows who trained as teachers and who actually... you know, very early on have given up and retrained in different career fields because they were just so, you know, felt it was so hopeless.
And
so
isn't that sad?
Isn't that dreadfully
age,
sad?
That youth to destroy all that hope and belief.
Yeah, no, it is tragic. There's no question of it. And it does need a rethink. I think we can agree on
indeed.
That. But a fabulous debate there. Thoroughly enjoyed that, Kim. Thank you so much for being
You're very
here,
welcome.
As always. And Nick, absolutely great to have you on. Always welcome. And
always lively.
But that was a proper debate and thoroughly enjoyed it. It was great. Now, if I can just remind all of you dear listeners out there, just a quick heads up that the lunchtime social debate on a Monday with myself, Andy Knight and Kim will be missing next Monday, being a bank holiday, Easter Monday, of course. We'll be back. Kim will be here with me in 2 weeks' time.
Yep.
On the Monday for another LSD as part of the Monday Morning Mix. And
you
if I can,
indeed.
So we'll look forward to that. But if I can remind you that, as I mentioned at the top of the show, I will be taking the Easter weekend off. So I won't be here, in fact, on this Friday for the Andy Knight Radio Show at 10 o'clock on Friday, and nor will I be here for the Monday Morning Mix on Easter Monday. You're guaranteed something refreshingly high quality in the intervening period for your holiday weekend. So there'll be plenty to enjoy. But I'll be back on Friday, the whatever it is, 20-umpteenth of April, in about 10 days' time.
Gosh.
So I shall look forward to seeing you again at that time. And then, as I say, Kim will join us the following Monday for another lunchtime social debate. But that is pretty much it for the Monday Morning Mix with myself, Andy Knight, for this Monday. To remind you of the rest of today, here on Vectis Radio. Now, Kevin Wilson's patiently waiting to get in, if we can calm down a bit in here. He'll be here for the Monday Magazine between 1 and 4 o'clock after your 1 o'clock news bulletins, your local, national and international news. And then Robert Chip Clark is in, of course, for your Tea Time show between 4 and 6. That's followed for an hour by the Hello Vectis magazine show, of course, early evening magazine show between 6 and 7. Mark is in for 3 hours of your wonderful mod anthems between 7 and 10 tonight. And then if you missed all or part of that LSD, it is, of course, replayed for you between 10 and 11 o'clock here on Vectis Radio. So you can listen to that again, and maybe it'll prompt some discussion in your household, because education of our children is something that affects us all. So have another listen then if you miss it. And finally, between 11 and midnight tonight, of course, it's non-stop 80s for you. So that's what it looks like here on Vectis Radio for the rest of today. That really is a lot for this Monday. Kim, once again, many thanks. Great to see you. Have a wonderful Easter.
And you.
Have a great time. And to all of you out there, do have a fabulous Easter weekend. I do hope, I know a lot of you, particularly if I can just say the emergency services, the transport services, the caterers, the tourism, all that down here on the island, a lot of you working over the Easter holidays. Of course, it's not a holiday for you. It's a hard working time. So do enjoy it the best you can. And the rest of you, I just fingers crossed for the weather. And have a very, very happy Easter from me, Andy Knight, here on the Monday Morning Mix. As I say, after the 1 o'clock news, Kevin's here for your Monday magazine. Kim, thanks again.
Thank you.
And that's your lot from us. Bye-bye for now.
www.vectisradio.com